make our streets safe for kids, the streets will be safer for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
I'm going to go with Mr. Joe Walsh and Rebecca Hamilton and Jenik Kovansky. Sorry about that. And they'll be followed by Ophelia Miracle, Amy Subak, and Steve Gutman.
Okay, Mr. Walsh, you're next.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. It's a very awkward position for us to be in because we agree with you. The streets have to be fixed. We need the safety on our streets. I live on 74th and Division. So I'm very close to 82nd and often take the max. So I'm above 82nd a lot. So all of the representations to you that the Southeast has to be fixed, it's unsafe. Nobody can argue that. One of my concerns is that when the City Club presented their report to you, they claimed that we were in $205 million in the hole in the Department of Transportation. And nobody seems to say, what happened? Who's responsible for that? And that's our concern. We don't want you just to move on and do a 10-cent a gallon tax. And there's four other taxes coming. And I think if you want to learn the trust of the people, whatever taxes you're thinking about, and these are parking taxes, I understand, and other taxes that will fill in the gap because $67 million is not going to do it, and we all know that. So why don't we be honest? Just for a change, try it. You may like it. Say to the people of Portland, this is what we need. When I want something, that's what I say to Patty because she handles the finances. I don't ask for $10 if I need 15. I ask for 20. And then I negotiate down to 15. That's the unionism with me. Do the same thing. Be honest with the people. This is not the final tax. This is one. You have to bring this up to put it on the ballot because that's the law. If you're going to do a gas tax, you have to put it on the ballot. There's four others that you don't. So tell the people that. If it's $205 million, Commissioner Novick, tell the people that. If it's more than that, and some people seem to say it is, be honest with them. Because if you lose the credibility, you're going to lose this vote. And we've been screwing around with this now for 2 years. We have street taxes. We have fees. Please fix the streets and do it honestly. Don't say, what's the best way to do it? What would they believe? Just be honest. Ask for the 20 bucks. Negotiate down to 15. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, members of City Council. My name is Rebecca Hamilton, and I am here today representing the City of Portland's Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and we would like to express our strong support for the temporary 10-cent per gallon gas tax and its use to fund the City of Portland Street Repair and Safety Improvement Program. The PAC is a group of appointed representatives from all over the city. We bring the interests of the Portland Commission on Disabilities, the East Portland Action Plan, and a dozen other neighborhood associations and community groups throughout the city. Many of us have been a part of this committee for years. And over the years, we have become uncomfortably familiar with where the lack of consistent funding has left us. We have worked with PBOT on budget committees, on prioritization exercises, where we are asked to select a small handful of critical safety projects for funding out of a list of over more than 100, and on grant applications where we compete with other cities for a shot at our most basic funding our most basic infrastructure needs. We see how very few sources of funding there are for pedestrian projects and how small those few sources are. And on behalf of the people that we represent, who deserve to walk to school on a sidewalk or cross the street without taking their life in their hands, we are not happy about it. That is why the PAC strongly supports funding the street repair and safety improvement program through the proposed gas tax. This program would provide some of the only dedicated, reliable funding that we have for pedestrian projects that would literally help save lives. Our city has made a commitment to Vision Zero, but if we don't back that commitment with funding to pay for the safe routes to school connections or better crossings on our high street corridors, high crash corridors, then we're making an empty promise to the people of this city. We can't kick this can down the street again, hoping that Salem will step in to solve our problems for us. It is time we stop looking to dead-end sources to fund our immediate infrastructure needs. The PAC supports the city in taking ownership of our transportation future through a local gas tax, as proposed, so that we can build the safe network that our citizens deserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, members of the City Commission. My name is Garrick Kransky. I'm the Advocacy Director with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and our mission is to create healthy, sustainable communities by making bicycling safe, convenient, and accessible. And we've been focused on that mission for over 25 years. Today, I'm here to ask you to vote yes on the proposal in front of you to refer a temporary gas tax to Portland voters to help fix our streets. We are convinced that safe streets for all Portlanders should be a top priority, and that a majority of residents want to see more money dedicated to making this happen. This is especially true where conditions are worst and individuals are most at risk. We also need to balance out our interests with the reality that flat taxes, by definition, are not progressive. And in this proposal, many of the safety projects are in neighborhoods that need the investment most, which can help ease the burden of increased transportation costs. I want to thank Commissioner Novick for his statement here today about a continued commitment to looking for more progressive funding sources for future transportation needs. We look forward to partnering with the city and the Transportation Justice Alliance in that deeper focus on equity. Some of the highlights from this proposal in BTA's perspective include the investments in our commitment to Vision Zero, that vision of achieving zero serious injuries and fatalities on our streets, which is utmost important to us. Over $8 million for safe routes to school, $6 million for new sidewalks, $4 million for safety improvements on our highest crash corridors, $3.2 million for new protected bike lanes, and $2.4 million for neighborhood greenways. These are fantastic priorities, and we hope to see them fully funded through this measure. And in addition to my role at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, I've been serving as a volunteer on the Bureau of Transportation's Budget Advisory Committee for over the last 6 years. And I'll just take this opportunity to remind folks of some of the deep and systemic cuts that that agency has taken within the last 5 years. Those were hard conversations around how we find $16 million worth of ongoing budget cuts in 1 year and $5 million worth of ongoing budget cuts in the next. We have not yet seen those cuts restored. And so we're thrilled to see that this temporary gas tax is moving forward for a vote of the general electorate, and we hope to see it made permanent and expanded in the future. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, next.
Our Ophelia Miracle, Amy Subach, and Steve Gutman, and they'll be followed by Carrie Schlosshauer, Chris Rall, and Joe Rowe.
Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead, you're fine.
My name is Ophelia Miracle. I am 15 years old and I go to Grant High School. I grew up in Portland and I've been using TriMet to get around town since I was 15, since I was in fifth grade. I am not old enough to drive, so it makes it a little difficult to get around town, and my mom just had another baby, so I have a little brother, so it's hard for her to drop everything to take me places. So when I need to get to school, want to visit a friend, or go to the movie theaters, I count on the city of Portland to keep the roads safe enough for me to walk to the bus stop, ride my bike, or to get to Grant High School. This allows me to get exercise, develop my own independence, and get where I need to go without waiting for my mom to drive me across town. That's why I'm here asking you to let the city of Portland vote yes on the gas tax to help students like me get across town. I can't wait for the safer streets, including students in Southwest worried about the new PPS boundary changes, and the students in East Portland who have to cross busy streets with speeding cars without sidewalks. We desperately need the gas tax to raise the $8 million that will directly improve all Portland public schools districts from Grant to David Douglas. Please vote yes today to make it easier for students like me to get to school.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you for taking time off to come in today.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to say I actually live across the street from Grant, and you make us proud for being here. So nicely done.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Amy Suback, and I am a co-founder of Vision Zero USA. And as co-founder of Vision Zero USA, I'm elated that this measure allocates funds to implement Vision Zero on the ground in Portland, in the most dangerous and high crash corridors. And as a mother of two young children in Northeast Portland, I support this ballot measure because I know that kids are healthier and better able to learn when they get to walk or bike to school safely. The funding for Safe Routes to Schools will make all of Portland's children and vulnerable citizens much safer. Crossing the street to go to school or a playdate or the grocery store should not be a matter of life or death. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
The next three are Carrie Schlossenhauer, Chris Rall, and Joe Rowe. And they'll be followed by Scott Kocher, Matthew Masetic, and Paul Romain.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Thanks. Mayor Hales and remaining commissioners, thanks for having me here today. My name is Kari Schlosshauer, and I represent the Safe Routes to School National Partnership here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm also a mom to two young boys who unfortunately could not be here today. One of them is napping, and the other one's in kindergarten. But they did want me to let you know the only thing they love more than pointing out potholes and cracks in our streets is watching the paving and construction equipment that comes to fix our streets. I would like to thank Commissioner Novick and the Portland Bureau of Transportation for their work to identify, highlight, and begin to prioritize investments needed in our transportation system, especially in historically underinvested parts of the city. As with nearly every other city in the country, unfortunately, Portland has significant disparities in the geographic allocation of safe infrastructure for getting around. People who walk in the city's poorer neighborhoods are three times more likely to be killed in traffic compared to those in the wealthier parts of the city. This simply cannot continue to be our MO, especially in a city that has adopted a Vision Zero strategy. So we support and are pleased to see essential safety projects in diverse, low-income communities where the needs are greatest with this proposal. As you've heard from others, Portland has an exemplary program of education and encouragement programs that promote safe routes to schools. It's arguably one of the best in the nation. Many of Portland's schools sit on or near busy and unsafe streets that put our children at risk on a daily basis, regardless of that. So safety is an essential priority, and we're very pleased to see this be part of the proposal. It allocates $8 million for Safe Routes to School improvements, approximately $500,000 for each high school cluster, which will fund projects that have been identified and asked for years. These safety projects will positively affect students at more than 35 elementary, middle, and high schools in David Douglas, Park Rose, Reynolds, Centennial, and Portland Public School Districts. These improvements will include school crossings, paths, and missing connections, sidewalks, traffic calming, bicycle route connections for youth in all corners of our city. They need these safe routes to get to and from school and in their community. They're already using these routes, and they need them to be safer. I just want to close by saying thank you for looking at this proposal, and just to make sure that you consider our kids as our future. They need these safe routes to get around, and I hope to see this go unanimously to the voters. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. My name is Chris Rall. I am the Pacific Northwest Field Organizer with Transportation for America. Transportation for America is an alliance of elected business and civic leaders from communities across the country united to ensure that states and the federal government step up to invest in smart, homegrown, locally driven transportation solutions, because these are the investments that hold the key to our future economic prosperity. However, Congress passed a transportation bill that locks us into five more years of mediocre federal funding, and the state of Oregon failed to pass a transportation package in 2015 to address road, bridge, maintenance, and other transportation challenges. When the roof of your house is leaking, you don't wait for someone else to come and fix it for you. Streets are like houses. and that preventative maintenance protects the investment and saves taxpayer money. Maintaining a road in good condition over time costs less than half the cost of making major repairs after letting that same road deteriorate to poor condition. Our children and grandchildren have a better shot at prospering in this city if we leave them safe streets in good repair rather than unsafe streets and a heavy burden of deferred maintenance. The user fee proposal under discussion today could help the city of Portland get a handle on its street maintenance challenges and address safety issues. Other cities are moving to fund transportation with local funding. For example, the city of Seattle recently passed a $930 million measure to fix streets and bridges, improve safety, and invest in transportation options. Portland's relatively modest proposal deserves strong consideration, and we look forward to supporting the discussion with information and ideas from our national network of leaders and experts. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Next three are Scott Kocher, Matthew Masetic, and Paul Romaine, and they'll be followed by Ruth Ann Bennett, Craig Rogers, and Mr. Lightning.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Matthew Masetic, and I own and operate Red Castle Games in Southeast Portland. So Red Castle is located on Foster Road, which, as you know, is a currently designated high crash corridor by the city. I experience this on my daily commute with aggressive driving, tailgating, and speeding, and I see how it affects our community. I also experienced firsthand this past year the crash aspect of a high crash corridor, when in April, a drunk speeding driver smashed into my business during business hours. Amazingly, no one was hurt or killed. Foster Road, as it's designed now, promotes this behavior because it's made just to move vehicles as quickly as possible, and it doesn't pay attention to community needs at all. Foster Road has been addressed, however, with the Foster Streetscape, and we're very lucky for that. However, many other high crash corridors, this hasn't been addressed. And with passage of this tax, it could be, and it could help save lives. I also support this tax as a business owner because my employees rely on transit, they rely on biking, they rely on cars to get to my store. My customers also rely on these features, and all my product arrives by FedEx and UPS. Everything uses the transportation system. The first time street funding was discussed that I was part of was back in 2014, but I quickly learned that back in 2007, back in 2001, it's been an ongoing debate for years. And I implore you, be the first council in decades that takes a step to start finding a solution to this funding crisis. This tax may not fill the hole, but it will stop us from digging it any deeper for the next 4 years. And investing in our streets now just makes good business sense. I had an issue with the sidewalk in front of my store where it sunk a little and created a puddle, and I ignored it. And it kept sinking to the point where my customers would call it a moat. And my diehard customers would hop it, no problem. But the normal customers walking by that might stop and otherwise, you could see them look at the large puddle, hesitate. They didn't want to get their shoes wet, and they kept going. And the fact is, convenience is king. And if people can get around easily, whether it's on a sidewalk or on a street, that will help promote business. I could have early on, I found out, mud-jacked the sidewalk to level it and paid a few hundred dollars, but instead I let it get worse and I ended up paying thousands to jackhammer the sidewalk and replace it, which I'm sure many business owners are familiar with. Let's not kick the can down a pothole-riddled street for future citizens, future business owners, and future city leaders. You know, let's take charge of our streets, and I'm asking you, help save our streets.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I'm representing the Oregon Fuels Association. Sort of feel like a possum on I-5 during rush hour right now, but that's okay. I'm used to that. A couple of things. First of all, this is how a local gas tax works. It's imposed at the wholesale level, basically. It's not a sales tax at the retail level, which means that whoever buys the gas to distribute in the city of Portland is paying extra. And so what that does, they sell it to the people who are in the city, and then those people end up selling it to those who come to the station. The problem with it is that your cost of doing business in the city have now risen. So if you're in a central area of the city where people don't have choices, you're probably okay. People are stuck paying the extra 10 cents or whatever you pass on. But if you're on the periphery, you have to make a decision, which is, do I eat the tax? Do I pass on some of it? Because you're competing against people outside of the boundary who aren't paying the tax. That's why we like state gas taxes. We don't like local gas taxes. So that may explain a little bit of why we're here. Rather than go into why this is a bad idea, which I've said a few times, I just wanted a couple of practical considerations. One of them is the measure itself that you're sending to the voter is the ordinance. It's your Exhibit A to this resolution. Now, that's the only thing that really can be covered in a ballot title, not your wish list of projects, which frankly is just a wish list. So your ballot title really needs to be revised, and it will be challenged if it's not revised. All the project lists do not belong in there. They're not in the ordinance. And anybody in the audience who thinks that those projects are sacrosanct is just wrong. You can change that at any time. That's number one. Number two is your explanatory statement, again, for the same reasons, is flawed. It needs to state what's in the ordinance. Your explanatory statement basically is a statement in favor of the measure, which is allowed in a ballot voter's pamphlet, but under a different category. So if you're going to have a ballot title and an explanatory statement, at least make them legitimate and fair so the people who are voting on this understand that, yes, they're going to be paying 10 cents more, whoever's doing business in the city, but all those projects are, yes, that's something you pass now, but just like what your predecessors did with the utility fee, it can be changed without a vote of the people. So we would ask that you correct the ballot title and the explanatory statement. Thank you.
Mr. Romaine, can I ask you a couple questions?
You ask me as many as you want.
What's the cost of a gallon of gas at the retail pump today versus 2 years ago? Just in rough terms.
I have absolutely no idea. I don't pay attention. All I know is I can fill it up for less than $2 a gallon, where I used to be able to fill it for $4 a gallon.
That's about my experience. It feels like it's about half. I'm paying half.
And it fluctuates. That was a function of the Saudis. It still is today. The Saudis basically trying to take out Iran, take out Russia, take out the U.S. oil production, take out Venezuela and the Canadians, which they've been actually quite successful in doing. But it may change.
The point I just wanted to make is, now that I'm using my daughter's car because she's in another country and I'm filling it up, I've been struck that I'm paying about half what we did a couple years ago. So just from your point of view, if there were a time to impose a gas tax, is it a better time when you're paying much less at the tap?
Mr. Mayor.
You don't have to do that here.
I don't have to do that here?
No, okay. Actually.
Much less formal than the legislature. Okay. Hopefully more productive, too.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Commissioner Fish, it's from a political standpoint, sure. Price is low, and that's why a lot of fuel issues now are going to come back to bite people in the butt about 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whenever the price of oil goes up. Because we know it's going up.
So this is a four-year temporary tax. So if the folks that you represent don't like this approach, what approach would you support?
Commissioner, we have...
And I say that because the people that you're... The folks that you represent fill the tanks of people who drive in our roads, and the roads are falling apart. So they have a very immediate interest, for a number of reasons, to have the roads maintained at a higher level. If this failed, where would you link arm? On what proposal would you link arms with us to get additional revenue?
Well, Commissioner, we tried during the last session to get a statewide gas tax. We were unsuccessful. Something called the low carbon fuel standard kind of got in the way. It's still in the way, and probably will stay in the way until, you know, some realization comes of how much cost that is adding to a gallon of gas. But basically, we're looking for statewide solutions that would come down to the city. From our standpoint, a statewide solution works. A local solution doesn't. We can go up a lot with a state gas tax. We just have a hard time with a local gas tax. Now, local gas taxes within our organization are, whether we oppose them or are in favor of them, are determined by those dealers and jobbers who work in the particular area. So I know that Commissioner Novick is ready to pounce on me about why we didn't oppose the Troutdale tax, but
he'll have the full amount of time to pounce on you. I just want to understand.
It's because we basically look to what occurs in a particular jurisdiction and whether those people want to be in favor of it, opposed to it, whatever they want.
Okay, and my final question is, and I probably should ask Commissioner Novick because he's sort of an expert on this, if after today or whenever we act on this, you continue to disagree with the ballot title or the explanatory statement, your option is to go to court and have a circuit court judge decide the question?
Yes, that's the option that's provided by statute and by your ordinance, own ordinance or
so
code.
If we end up agreeing to disagree on either of those, you still can go to court and have a neutral decide that question?
Yes, we can, and we will. I'm just saying that if you want, we can. A lot of times that's worked out ahead of time. You can sit down and say, this is how it really should be, and we'd be happy to sit down and talk with you. We know you're going to pass this thing. We assume you're going to pass it. What we're saying is, if you're going to pass it, at least be fair about what you're sending out to the voter.
And the last question is, you know, it's not every day that we have a panel that has the diversity of views that have come in before us to support this. So the Portland Business Alliance sitting next to the BTA, sitting next to this and that. So there is, Commissioner Novick has done an admirable job building a broad coalition. Other than the Oregon Fuel Association that you so ably represent, are there any other industry groups that to your knowledge that oppose this proposal?
Yes, there are quite a few. Actually, we've had meetings at our office. We're not at liberty to disclose, but frankly, the idea of a load fee has brought a whole bunch of people out of the woodwork, thinking that may come down the line. There are also people who just don't like a gas tax. There will be a very broad coalition opposing this at the ballot in May. I can guarantee you that. I'm not at liberty to say which ones, frankly, because we were waiting to see what exactly the proposal would be.
Thank you.
So a couple of your members in my neighborhood are about a half a mile apart. They're different ownerships on the same neighborhood main street. And at any given time, the price of gas at those two stations is roughly 10 to 15% different.
Local decision. Everybody decides.
Right. So what's the level of gas tax that would come out in the wash in a marketplace that, whereas Commissioner Fish has already noted, the price has fallen precipitously, and where there's already at least this much variation from block to block around the city? What's the level of local gas tax that would fall below the pain threshold if 10 cents isn't it? Is it zero or is it some other number?
Mr. Mayor, we have not discussed that. I can't really tell you. All I know is that different stations have different reasons for what they charge. Some may take in a lot more volume and base it on make less per gallon, sell more. Others may say, I'm going to make a little more per gallon. Some actually have attendants who have full benefit packages. Those are probably the most expensive stations in the city. There's a few around. There are very few, if any, stations that are actually owned by the major oil companies. That used to be a big issue with us, but they're not owned by the major oil companies. That's why you know that there's not a lot of profit in retail oil right now. Unless you have a hole in the ground, there's not a lot of profit.
If we were to do what Clackamas County is poised to do, and that is adopt a local vehicle registration fee, would you support that?
I personally would love it if Clackamas County adopted a local fee.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Others?
Next three are Ruth Ann Bennett, Craig Rogers, and Mr. Lightning. And they will be followed by Vivian Satterfield, Charles Johnson, and Soren Impe.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
I'm Ruth Ann Bennett. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. On behalf of PTE Local 17 COPIA chapter, and as a Portland resident, I'm asking you to give the people of Portland the chance to vote for better roads. We need streets to go to work, go to school, and to do so many other things. Kids and seniors need to be able to cross the street on the way to school or the bus stop. They need a safe place to wait for the bus. We all need streets to buy food, access health care, and receive emergency services. Food and other necessities need to be delivered to our neighborhoods. Our roads last far longer when we repave them and repair the cracks. This costs far less than waiting until the cracks turn into potholes, or worse yet, the street is destroyed and has to be rebuilt. Postponing street maintenance reminds me of the car owner who delays oil changes for so long that it's necessary to replace the engine or the car. Small road repairs now will save us money because we'll avoid huge repairs later. People who drive on the streets would pay the gas tax to preserve the streets. This is an efficient funding method that is widely accepted. I'm glad that there will be an oversight committee to make sure that this new funding will be used to improve our roads. The people of Portland deserve the opportunity to vote for better streets. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Craig Rogers, and I'd first like to say that the cornerstone of this plan should be transparent and accountable. All too often, when there's been a report made on something here at City Hall involving the city, just as an example, this recent release from the auditor's office, it says limited oversight. And this is more common than not. We can have oversight in the words, but whether the action is done is something else. So as I said, transparent and accountable are a priority. It should be a cornerstone. And I'd like to compliment you on having a hard sunset. Little do we know what we can learn in 4 years that we can apply 4 years from now to make it better. So about a year ago in May, the Oregonian held a symposium called Roads, Rats, and Revenue. I attended. Matt Garrett, sitting right in front of me, first things he said was, I don't know why people want to use something and not pay for it. Hey, I'm there. And what I'm amazed at is that a large bus or truck does the damage on the roads equivalent to 10,000 passenger cars. I'm just amazed by that. I actually think the number's phony, but I've been told by people that know that's the truth. So you're looking for other sources of revenue, such as studded tires that are charged at the point of sale, and other various fees and so forth. And if those aren't followed through, and I really encourage you to follow through on these other things, it reminds me of a joke I once saw on the back page of the Wall Street Journal. One picture, and it was a devil down there at the gates of hell. And here was a whole line, a gentleman with suits, business people, politicians, and he's got his checklist while they're walking in, and all it has him saying underneath, he says, yeah, he says, woulda, shoulda, coulda. We get a lot of those down here.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. Commissioner Novick, you wanted that street fee passed through. Let's do a council vote. Pretty aggressive. What's interesting this time around, I think that your approach is going to get something done. And in my opinion, you've looked at what's going on in the market with prices dropping dramatically, fuel costs. People have a little bit more disposable income. People understand we need the roads repaired and safety number one focus. And you're proposing 10 cents. I think it's very reasonable. In my opinion, I would have gone up as high as 20 cents, possibly 15. 10%, I think, is a great number to get approved. One of the things that I like to see is that from my position, like I say, is that we need to understand that we're going to have to put something into place pretty soon. And we can all sit there and say we have the great plan already in the future, what we're going to do. Well, we've done that for the last 10, 15 years. So Let's stop talking about it and saying you have the great plans out there, because they haven't materialized. You have a 10 cents per gas tax. It's not over-aggressive. It's not what we need to really materialize everything we want to do, but it's a beginning. And that's the key here. It's a beginning to look at, and you've also placed a sunset clause in on this. Again, you're being very reasonable this time around, and it does affect you as a commissioner, and I think you'll get this approved just by the way you're doing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Do you have any others, Carl?
The last three who signed up are Vivian Satterfield, Charles Johnson, and Soren Impe.
Okay, come on up, please. Good afternoon. Go ahead, Vivian.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Vivian Satterfield. I'm the deputy director at Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. And, you know, we're going through a lot of big changes at Opal right now. We just hired our new executive director who has started his second week. And so I'm just sort of bridging the gap in between some conversations that were had previously by Opal's predecessor, or his predecessor, rather, who was heavily invested in the street fee conversation. As you know, Opal Environmental Justice Oregon represents low-income communities and communities of color. And, you know, we were heavily invested in the street fee conversation, and my understanding is that we were excited by the progressive revenue option that was on the table at that time. This current proposal, I believe, is a modest piece of the overall pie. You know, it isn't as progressive in the revenue or in the investment as we'd like, although there's some conceptual support for projects such as the Lens Green Ring and the Safe Routes to School engagement that we are very excited by. It's good to see that in there. We'll be likely very excited to engage with you all in the conversation to continue to look at that project list and refine that for the folks that we serve. You know, as we have been organizing in Portland for the last decade, the population that we serve has continued to shift due to forces of gentrification and displacement. So increasingly, we are organizing in East Portland in communities that currently lack a lot of the infrastructure that other areas of Portland currently enjoy. And until we have tools such as inclusionary zoning to ensure that we have a better mix of access for all sorts of folks in the city of Portland, you know, projects and proposals like this are really critical for us to take a lens at and to see you know, how we can also inform and engage our constituents to get their support on them. You know, we primarily are known for organizing transit-dependent people, folks who do not drive, but we also do organize plenty of low-income folks who have to rely on junk cars, quite frankly, because our transportation system isn't getting to them. It isn't getting them where they need to go. So that's a certain piece of this current proposal that is still troubling. You know, we have no ability to currently spend this money towards transit operations. Therefore, for example, TriMet is still currently footing the bill for streetcar operations, and I understand that's to the tune of about $7 million. I was engaged in Bus Riders Unite's campaign for a fair transfer, which was a proposal to extend the transfer time on TriMet so that we could deliver better access to folks who are living increasingly in farther areas of the city. And just for context, you know, for $7 million in transportation funds with TriMet, we could fully restore the frequent service network of both bus and rail with that money. So overall, I'm looking forward to continuing to engage with this council in a discussion and with the Transportation Justice Alliance to find how we can deliver better projects to the folks who really need them, who use our roads. Thanks.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's always a privilege to testify after the best wonks from Opal. And I appreciate the, especially their work with Bus Riders Unite. At times, I've told you that I'm Charles Johnson, and I'm here testifying on behalf of Oregonians for Food and Shelter and Compassionate Wisdom. But today, I'm just bringing you three words from our most philanthropic billionaire. Just do it. Bring this to the voters. Can't guarantee you that Phil Knight's behind it, but hey, he's putting $1 billion into cancer. If we come up with it, he probably wants us to see if I have better roads to get up to OHSU. We're not going to have a perfect solution. The roads aren't going to get better if we have a fancy study group and another city club report. You know, it's pretty hard to oppose putting anything on the ballot, even if you're an attorney for the fuel companies and letting the people decide for themselves. So vote to refer to the, to create the ballot measure, but also create channels so that OPAL, other economic justice organizations can engage and make sure that those people who use four times as much gas as other people, the higher income people, we find fair, equitable taxation against them also. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Any further questions from council members for staff before we take a vote on the resolution?
I have a clarifying question, and that's the ordinance is really specific, directing the specific ballot measure language and voters pamphlet statement and other parts of the proposal rather than something substantially similar. What's the process if there is kind of an appeal and it's found that we need to make a change in the title or any of the other pieces of it?
We work closely with the city attorney's office on the ballot title. There is, of course, a process for challenging anything. Ken will explain what it is.
I think Mr. Romaine adequately addressed that by saying that there would be a court challenge. The court would look at the text and the context of the ballot title and the ordinance together. We feel strongly that the text in the ordinance matches and conforms to the ballot title and the explanatory statement. And, you know, in light of the fact that there may be a challenge, I don't want to go into too much detail, but...
No, it's just a suppose whoever it gets to decide says, no, actually, you have to change it. How does that happen? Is there time for it to come back to council before the May ballot?
Well, they can, as I understand it, and Lindley Reese is more the expert on this area, but they can remove certain words from the explanatory statement or the ballot title. They can amend it. We can negotiate the change to the explanatory or the ballot title before that as well.
And the council doesn't have to approve any of those things?
I don't want to speak out of school, but I don't believe so. No.
I just want to make sure that we have whatever language you have in the you need in the ordinance, so that if there is, because it specifically says put these words.
Yes, in. I believe we do.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Ken? Thank you very much. Okay, I believe it's time for the council to take a vote. Please, would you call the roll?
Fritz.
Well, I'm honored to be voting first on this and very glad to see PBOT, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, building on the success of the Fix Our Parks bond measure and going for a Fix Our Streets measure. And indeed, the Parks bond measure was Help Fix Our Parks. And this really is Help Fix Our Streets. This is not going to take care of all of it. As some people may recall from 2014, we had a discussion of how to take care of all of it, and it didn't go so well, and it didn't go nearly as well as this one. So I really commend the way this has been done as well as what's being put forward. I'm going to quote Corky Collier from the very beginning of this hearing. PBOT knows how to do this. They simply lack the funding. So thank you very much to Director Treat and all of your staff for putting this together. Again, having led the Parks Bond process, I know how much work the staff and the director do, and then we as commissioners support your work and help bring it to council and then take it to the community. Commissioner Novick and I already started that process last night at the Arts Forum, and were asked the question, which clearly had the desired answer, will you put more funding into the arts, and why didn't you put money into the arts? And we said, because we put it into street maintenance, and we need to do that. And I was told afterwards that many of the participants, many of the audience members came up to me and said, yes, I support the arts, and I know you do, and we need to fix our streets. So it's really something that I believe that this builds on the 2014 process, because that helped a lot more people understand that, yes, we really do have a problem. And the fact that we have a hearing that looks like it's going to get done in less than 2 hours shows that now we have some consensus that this is one of the ways that we're going to help fix our streets. It will raise about $16 million annually, and we need $119 million annually. So it is very much only a piece of the solution, and I agree that this council bears the responsibility to help find some other solutions before the end of the year. So I will work with the mayor, Commissioner Novick, and my colleagues on that. In some ways, it's similar to the equity discussions that we have had. We as individuals didn't cause this problem. It's been going on for many decades. We are responsible for helping to fix it, and I am very glad to be part of this effort. I want to just quickly address the issue of drivers at the edges of Portland. I live at the corner between Tigard, Lake Oswego, and happily in the city of Portland. So for many years, I have had the choice of whether I'm going to shop at the Tigard Fred Meyer or at the Burlingame Fred Meyer. I switched when Multnomah County had its business income tax because I knew that those taxes were going to help the schools in Portland, even though the Burlingame Fred Meyer is much smaller than the Tigard Fred Meyer. Similarly, when we in the council banned plastic bags, I kept going to ours, Portland store, because they are using paper bags and have been for since we passed the ordinance. I know that they started paying paid sick time to their employees before the rest of the state is going to. So we as Portlanders understand that there's a privilege to living in Portland. There are some responsibilities. We do have choices. And it just so happens if you shop at our wonderful Fred Meyer's with its United Food and Commercial Workers Union members, you earn points for every dollar you spend, and you get to take it off at the gas station. So my kids and I diligently saved up our points this January and filled up the car that has the biggest gas tank, and it cost less than a dollar a gallon because we got a dollar off. The question of, is now the right time to do it when prices are low, or is another time when prices are high the better time to do it? I think the answer is both. Now, you know, the difference between $2 and $2.10, it's low anyway, so that's good. If it was $4, the difference between $4 and $4.10 is not that much either. And taxes in Europe on fuel are four times what our taxes are. So the other issue is that Tigard, Milwaukee, and Woodburn all already have local gas taxes. They're less than ours. So ours will be the highest in the state, I believe, as a local measure, and that's appropriate because we're the biggest city in the state and we have the most miles to fix, and we certainly have a lot of safety projects that need to be done as soon as possible. So thank you for your work, Commissioner Novick. Thank you for leading this wonderful effort. Aye.
Fish?
I want to start by thanking Commissioner Novick and Director Treat for their hard work in making this day possible. Steve has a tradition at moments like this of citing to a favorite song, a lyric, and I'm going to beat him to the punch. Because I think that the song that best captures this moment is one that Lennon and McCartney collaborated on. It's called The Long and Winding Road. And it has been a long and winding road, and there have been some bumps along the way. But you never gave up, and you were committed to finding a mechanism to raise new money for safety in streets and to do it in a collaborative way. And you've accomplished that goal, and I want to compliment you for that. In fact, I was thinking about the year that you and Leah have had, and you probably have your own list of the top highlights, but I think in the last year it's pretty darn impressive that we adopted Vision Zero and made a commitment. I think the bike share announcement with Nike as a full partner and an incredibly innovative way of launching that program is a milestone. And today we've achieved something that probably some people thought couldn't happen, which is you found a path forward to finding a short-term dedicated revenue for our streets. And I compliment you for that. Commissioner Fritz quoted from Corky Collier, so I'm going to quote from Mr. Kransky, who in his testimony said, this is a good start. And that's what it is, it's a good start. We have a lot more work to do. But I really want to thank the leaders who have brought us to this moment. I want to thank the community partners who have stepped up to support us. And following this action, the hard part begins because we have to pass this thing. And I'm going to make the first pledge. I will not drive outside of Multnomah County to fill my tank when this passes. And that's partly for practical reasons, because I'm pretty sure it cost me a hell of a lot more to do that than to just fill up at my neighborhood gas station. So thank you for the leadership that brought us this moment. Aye.
Councilman?
Well, I look forward to supporting this measure today and at the polls in May. So thank you for crafting this and having such broad-based support. And it does seem like it's the most expeditious path to getting more resources into our transportation maintenance and safety system right away. Aye.
Novick.
I'd like to start by thanking the members of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advocacy groups such as Safe Routes to School and the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, the Community Cycling Center, and Oregon Walks, and the members of the Portland Business Alliance who had different ideas of how to raise money and how to spend it. I want to thank them for talking to each other and thinking through this and coming to a place where they're all supportive, even though it might not be exactly what any of them wants. I was really encouraged by how those discussions went. I want to thank Ken McGair of the City Attorney's Office and Thomas Lanham of the Revenue Bureau and the PBOT team, Mark Lear, Leah Treat, Steve Townsend, Shoshana Cohen, Ken Lee, Dylan Rivera, since he's here. And Dylan, I want to thank you for helping put together that appeal to Santa that launched this in December of 2013. You know, we have explored every option. Let's see, who am I leaving out? Oh, yeah, leaving out my staff. More than half my staff has worked on this. Timur Ender, Andrea Valderrama, Chris Warder, and Katie Shriver, thank you all very much. And Commissioner Fish, of course, you were right. I have to have some musical reference. And because we lost both David Bowie and Glenn Frey in the past couple of weeks, I figured that I had to do whatever I could to make sure we had a tribute to them. If I did not vote fourth, if I had been voting first, then I would have quoted David Bowie, and I would have said that, you know, this council is proving today, that has a chance to prove today, that we are more courageous in terms of transportation funding than any council has been in 30 years. So to quote David Bowie, we can be heroes, just for one day. But since voting fourth and deciding votes have already been cast, I will quote the song that was co-written by Glenn Frey and Jackson Browne, Take It Easy, and say, we may lose, we may win, we will never be here again. Aye.
Hales.
It's nice we can count on that, Steve. Thank you. Well, we are arrived at a good place on this issue after a long and winding road and after a lot of work. And we're at a place where we can now do the right and sensible thing, and that's what this proposal is. You know, we have heard during the denial and debate portions of this discussion over the last couple of years a lot of objections for why we shouldn't do something. And it's notable that today we're only down to one, and it's the most ludicrous. But we've heard all kinds of things. We've heard that it's not a real problem, that you know, we can wait and it's not that big a deal. Well, that's been well documented. The size of the problem and the fact that it is growing inexorably and exponentially is now clear to most people. This is a big deal. We need to do something. And, you know, a lot of us, me included, you know, we can perhaps be forgiven for not getting around to doing something until it's really forced on us. But this is forced on us, unless we just want to really stick our head in the sand. So that objection is pretty much, I think, gone. That's why we're not hearing it now. Another is that the city's not well managed and that, you know, there's just a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. And actually, a number of us were here this morning when we had the most boring, spectacular presentation that we get every year, which was our comprehensive annual financial report, and our independent city auditor and our independent private sector auditor all come say the same thing, which is, everything in this city is properly managed. Every T has been dotted across, every I has been dotted. And they had no issues to report in the manage of a $3.5 billion enterprise. Not many cities can say that. So I guess the objection that we just don't know what we're doing around here financially, that's pretty hard to sustain. Another is that we're just spending all that general fund money on other things. We haven't heard that today, which is refreshing. And that's actually also pretty well understood now, as I think Commissioner Fritz pointed out earlier, 90% of our general fund goes to police, fire, and parks. And oh, by the way, I get the budget office to produce this little spreadsheet for me every year as I go into the budget process. And it's interesting to note and not well reported. I ask them, how many employees do we have? Because our biggest cost, whether it's the police bureau, you know, sure, they buy police cars and uniforms, but most of the cost is people. Sure, the fire bureau buys trucks and hoses, but most of their cost is people. And sure, we buy grass seed and paint and swimming pool chemicals, but most of the cost of the Parks Bureau is people. And in 2008, 2009, the city of Portland had 6,035 employees, all bureaus totaled up. Today, with a bigger population, big challenges, we have 5,834 employees, 201 less. So I guess we're not taking all that general fund money and blowing it on lots of new programs and functions, because we're continuing to provide those basic services with less people than we did 8 years ago. Another objection, of course, is that Congress will do it. Well, they did pass a five-year transportation reauthorization bill. Good. We've been wanting them to do that for about 10 years. And it's positive that they did that, but they didn't increase the gas tax, and they haven't increased it since 1993. So that one doesn't hold much water. The legislature will do it. Well, Commissioner Novick and I were told at the beginning of the last legislative session, please stop talking about local things because we're going to do this in 2015. They didn't. And now we've heard that they're not going to do it in 2016 either, regrettably. I hope they do a lot of other good things. And in fact, we're going to be talking to them tomorrow morning about all the good things that they can do. So we're down to the most ludicrous argument, which is that it's a problem for the collectors of the tax, because that's all the gas stations are. The oil companies and the gas stations collect this tax from all of us, and then they remit it. And as I mentioned, I don't believe anyone will spend a dollar to drive the extra miles to go to a different gas station to avoid paying the tax, with gas prices being what they are over the next 4 years. So this is the right and sensible thing. We're here because we need to do something, because it is our problem. We're here because, Commissioner Novick, your leadership has been steadfast on this, and I appreciate that so much. We're here because these are our streets, and this is a basic service. I ran for this office because I wanted to make sure the city was doing a good job of funding and managing its basic services, and this is one of them, and this is really important that we all do this. And we're here because the victims of traffic violence are our neighbors and our kids. And one of the problems of being the police commissioner is that when bad news happens, I get it early because this thing goes off. And if it's a gang violence incident, it's in the middle of the night. But usually if it's traffic violence, it's during the day, because that's when people are going to work and going to school. And I don't go to every incident, but I've been to too many. And I still remember going to Southeast 136th and watching a police officer with tears in his eyes pick Morgan Cook's little coat up off the street where she'd been killed. And no police officer, no family, no mayor should have to go to that kind of incident. And that's why Vision Zero matters, and that's why we have a transportation director and a commissioner in a city that believe that that's the right and sensible thing, too, and just as doable as this is, which is to pay our bills. Thank you all for great work. I look forward to the voters of the city of Portland doing the right and sensible thing as well. Aye. Thank you all very much. We're recessed till tomorrow.